what hour your clock strikes. Here, it's always Halloween. And I'm always your haunted host, Luce Tomlin Brenner. Welcome to Small Frights Friday. Each week, I like to share a curated selection of calls from the All Hallows Hotline and letters from the Eek Mailbag. But first, I want to give out a king-size bar welcome to our newest Patreon Ghoul Gang members, Jason L. and Jacqueline Schroger. Welcome, and thank you so much for supporting It's Always Halloween. Jacqueline, if I butchered your name, please correct me. I practiced it many times, but I could be practicing it wrong. That's something that happens to all of us, right? The Ghoul Gang is producing 41% of this podcast now, which breaks down to 4 Small Frights episodes and 1 history episode a month. Jeez, that is absolutely incredible. Thank you. Your contributions are ensuring that It's Always Halloween stays independent, ad-free, and sustainable, which means that I can keep doing this on top of my day jobs, which is terrific. And hopefully one day, this will be my day job. That's the goal. People, you too can join the Ghoul Gang by visiting patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween for movie nights, chilling stories, cool info, and more that's not available anywhere else online. In fact, we got something really cool coming up this weekend, this Sunday, April 11th, at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. That's California time here in America. We are watching 1973's The Wicker Man. So if you sign up for the Patreon Ghoul Gang at the $10 level before Sunday, you can join us for The Wicker Man. And we are not just watching a movie together, okay? I present the movie. I come on video all dolled up and ready to tell you the history of the film that we're watching. I get into all kinds of fun trivia, all kinds of cool interviews. And then throughout the movie, the Ghoul Gang is all on a chat together and people chime in with their knowledge about the film with really great jokes. We've got an incredibly funny group of women. And no matter how well researched I come, somebody always chimes in with something I've never heard of before, and we all get a lot out of it. So this month of April, we are celebrating the incredible subgenre of folk horror, and we would love to have you join us. So we're going to be learning about folk horror. I'm going to be posting different articles and then different stories as well. And we're going to watch a couple of movies. So we'll watch A Wicker Man, and then we're going to vote on the next folk horror movie we want to watch that will be streaming on Sunday, April 25th. So patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween is how you can sign up for that. The link is also in the show notes. And if you just want to support the podcast with a one-time donation, you can do that as well. I have a little tip jar link in the show notes and also on our Instagram. So thanks so much again to everyone who's making it possible for me to take 15 to 20 hours a week to make this show. I couldn't do it without you. I would have burnt out back in November. So we are back today after a couple of weeks of non-traditional episodes. And I just want to tell everyone how much I appreciate the deeply thoughtful and kind messages that you sent out after our history, traditions, and culture episode. I am so heartened to hear that it resonated with so many of you. I even got to hear from some international listeners, which was really touching. You know, no, there's no borders really, you know, legally, yes, but, and the ones that we create. But when we get to connect in this way, you really see how small the world is. And when we get to have these conversations and meet some like-minded people, especially when the world feels so difficult and so dark, I think it makes things a lot cozier, a lot bearable. Just like makes you feel good about waking up. So, hey, y'all, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for that. And speaking of cozy, my goodness, I was happy that you all appreciated our joke last week. Hopefully you by now have listened to It's Always Christmas, me and Pete's side project, just trying to get a gauge on whether or not we should turn this into a Christmas show. Just kidding. People were very concerned that that could possibly happen. We were just having fun with it. Pete messaged me about in the end of February to see if I would want to put together an April Fool's episode. And so it was his idea to do a Christmas theme. And then, of course, I went crazy Lisa Simpson with that idea, even though I had to keep reminding myself that it's just a joke. It's just a joke. But I really was learning so much I didn't know about Christmas. And so I was just like, I can't stop reading. It's really funny because we had an Instagram comment from the user Blonde Librarian on the post about the episode. And they say, I'm floored and impressed by your commitment to this prank. 39 minutes, a 39-minute fake episode. Amazing. Yeah, you know, when I read that Blonde Librarian, I was like, am I unhinged? Am I losing my marbles? Because, yeah, I did. I made almost an entire ER episode. ER? What year is this? My goodness, woman, get with the times. The only hour-long NBC drama I could think of went off the air 20 years ago. I made almost a This Is Us length joke for everyone out there. And I am so happy that you guys loved it so much. And I'm glad that I was still able to teach you something, because what is a joke without a rich, deep cultural lesson? Is it even a joke if there isn't something that you can walk away from with knowledge? Is it funny if you're not completely educated on a subject? Lordy, lordy. Okay, have we started this episode yet? You guys, let's stop talking about Christmas and start talking about this incredible call that I just got on the All Hallows Hotline. Let's listen to it.
Who's say? Hi, my name is Alex. My wife is the powerful and hilarious and lovely Jenny, who is always calling into your podcast. She loves you so very much. I'm calling with a story about a really cumbersome costume. In the summer of 2005, I was about 13, and as a lifelong fan of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, I wanted to build a Megazord costume. So I built the whole thing out of cardboard and duct tape, and since duct tape doesn't paint very well, I ended up just coating the whole thing in different colors of duct tape instead of painting it. I started it in June and finished it literally hours before a Halloween party. And it was a big hit there. My dad backed me in a van, and played the music while I walked around. I wore it the next day at school and walked around before first period while my brother blasted music on a boombox. And I walked around with just a helmet all day. But then after school, I got to put the whole thing back on and just walk around and fight everyone dressed as knights and ninjas and all that fun stuff. It was very uncomfortable to wear, but it was very, very fun to wear, and be a giant robot and be kind of anonymous in it. A few years back, I uncovered it after clearing out a family storage unit, and I just didn't have the room for it. So I took it to a friend's house, and we ceremonially burned it, sacrificed it to the Halloween lords, and forever there it shall remain. Spooky, spooky, whatever, whatever. I absolutely love your show. I'm so glad that Jenny showed it to me. We talk about it all the time. She loves you like a play cousin. Look forward to hearing more. Take care.
Alex, what a scream. I am obsessed with this Mighty Morphin Power Ranger dance party that you had everywhere that you went. Bless your father, bless your brother, and all of your friends who just showed up for you in this moment. You had a big choice. You made a big artistic decision. You decided to do a costume, which if it had gone wrong, would have gone wrong spectacularly. Like, if people would not have backed you up with music and wouldn't have been psyched, you would have been painfully, utterly, mortifyingly embarrassed. And it didn't work out like that. It worked out the opposite way. Everybody was cheering you on, and I think that is so freaking cool. And that's what I wish for all of the lanterns out there in Halloweenland, that we make big, bold, excruciatingly specific choices with our Halloween costumes, and that everyone around us just goes nuts being our hype men and women and non-binary supporters. That we're all just like, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, I can't believe your dad backed you up to a party in a van with the music blaring. It's just, it's so cool. It's cinema quality scene. I am watching the teen comedy based on this costume, and it's so funny. I just love it. I love it so much. I also think it's so cute that you got everybody in on the ceremonial burial of this suit as well. Just nothing like a group of friends who are down to be weird. It's just so nice when you pitch something and they're like, yeah, let's give a Viking burial to your Halloween costume from 10 years ago. Like, what? Thanks, dudes. Very, very cool. And why am I not surprised that Jenny's love also happens to be such a charming, wonderful person? So I am very happy to hear that Jenny is sharing the podcast with you. We love her here, and now we love you here. And Alex, you introduced a new phrase into my lexicon. I had never heard the phrase play cousin before, and I listened to the call a few times and rewound that part a couple times. So I was like, play cousin, am I hearing this right? And so then I Googled it, and Urban Dictionary told me that I was hearing it right. Play cousin is the word, and it means someone that you grew up around, that you know like family, but you're not related to. And that's so sweet. In my house, we just called them cousins and aunts, but they were essentially play cousins. And I'm sure you've heard this story, but why not share it with all of the lanterns? Jenny is a member of the Ghoul Gang. She comes to movie nights, and we were talking, one of these evenings, the whole group, and another member who calls in a lot, Elisa, mentioned being from Cincinnati, which she has called and talked to us about the Union American Cemetery in Cincinnati. And Jenny goes, oh, I'm also from Cincinnati. And then she went to Coleraine High School, which is a high school that I went to the prom at because one of my best friends from camp went to high school there. And he invited me to his senior prom one year. And I was like, I went to Coleraine's prom. And she said, what year? And I told her, and she said, that was the year that I was at prom. And then Jenny and I discovered that we went to the same prom. And we went to the same after prom, and we knew the same people there, and maybe we even met, but we don't have any recollection of it. And Jenny and I did not know each other before the podcast. She just started calling in to the All Hallows Hotline as a lantern, and now we've become friends, but I can't get over that. And it's such a delightful story. And I just want to put that out there because we have another fun call coming up here at the end that I think you guys are going to appreciate. So very similar to what I said in the beginning of the episode, this podcast makes our big, scary world feel a lot smaller, a lot cozier, a lot closer, a lot more love. So very happy to now have Alex as an official lantern. So please, you know, introduce your friends, your lovers. Sorry, why did I say that? Your partners, your aromantical people that you like to spend time with, your hangs. Just introduce them to the podcast. So we'll all listen to this and enjoy this together. All right, let's get into an eek mail. You guys, you probably can hear this. I'm losing my voice a little bit. I've struggled with this the last couple of weeks. I'm drinking a lot of tea. I'm trying really hard to take care of my voice, but I do a lot of podcasting, so I'm having a bit of trouble. Hopefully it's not disturbing you too much. All right, here is our first eek mail of today. The subject line is COVID Halloween. Hi, Luce. I'm a new listener, having just been introduced to your podcast through your guest appearance over on The Haunted Hangover. Well, that's just lovely. You guys, if you're not listening to The Haunted Hangover, these are the coolest dudes. I love them. They're in New York, and they have like bi-monthly, two episodes a month, and it's a little more nostalgia-focused, but they are such cool, sweet guys, and I just did an episode with them called Our Favorite Halloween Scenes in Non-Halloween Movies, which was such a cool exercise to think about, like, all of the movies that do have really great Halloween scenes in them. We do talk about Meet Me in St. Louis a little bit, which is something we talked about on the podcast back in the fall. So if you love that idea, and obviously you all love Halloween, please check out The Haunted Hangover. I just think they're the sweetest guys, and it was really fun doing an episode with them. So you can check that out. Let me get back into the eek mail. So a new listener found me through The Haunted Hangover, and I just wanted to say I am so happy to have found your little corner of the internet. Aw, I'm only a dozen or so episodes in, but I'm loving it. Back in September and October, you were talking about how we all had to adapt our celebrations due to COVID, and I wanted to share what many in my neighborhood did that I actually hope continues into the future. Cool. Each house that was participating set up a almost trunk or treat-like style display at the end of the driveway with little individual goodie bags spread out on tables, hung on clotheslines, stuck in the yard on sticks, and all kinds of other creative ways that kids could swing by, snag a treat, and still stay socially distant. I've attached a photo of our display, which I was really proud of, complete with lights, our jack-o'-lantern, and of course, a bottle of hand sanitizer. My husband and our next-door neighbor hung out in chairs 6 feet apart on our porch and kept an eye on the table, while my daughter and I put on our witches' hats and our masks and made the rounds. We actually wound up going to more houses than ever that night because all the time we usually spent hiking up and down every single driveway was eliminated. I saw neighbors with fire pits going. Some even brought out their grills and they were cooking dinner as the trick-or-treaters marched by. It felt like a block party, but still it felt so safe, which I loved. I was really proud of the effort everyone put into making this holiday a good one, especially in such a crummy year. I know I'll be using my display table again this year, and I hope my neighbors will too. Anyway, I just wanted to share that and say thanks for all the excellent, spooky Halloween content. Stay spooky, Sam, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you so much, Sam. This sounds like such a lovely experience, and I just adore these pictures that you attached. This is a really lovely display table. You've got the lights and the jack-o'-lantern and the dusk. It's like perfectly dark and just glowing. Is there anything better than the soft, warm glow of a jack-o'-lantern against the inky, bluish night sky? It is just such an atmospheric feeling. That just the picture of it, it's almost like a smell. It's like a picture you can smell. I hope you guys get that. I will throw it up on the Instagram so that you can see it. I feel like the campfire aspect of the bonfire, the grills, the smell of like a gourd lightly singeing. I love it. You're taking me back, Sam. Thank you so much. I'm glad you had such a nice holiday. And I love that your neighbors worked so hard together in a respectful and caring manner to do something so that you could all still come together. But it was very thoughtful and there wasn't people challenging each other and pushing each other's boundaries. It sounds like it was really lovely and I'm happy you got to have that experience. And please, if anybody else has a COVID Halloween story you haven't shared yet, please write in or call in or record a little voice memo and send that in. I would love to hear about it. We cannot get enough of these memories. And I think it's just, it's great because we don't know what's going to happen this Halloween. You know, hopefully everybody gets their vaccinations and we are able to save the original Halloween experience. But if not, you know, we've had a year of practice, a year of thinking creatively, and I know that we can have just as much fun this year, regardless of what we are able to do. Sam, thank you so much again, and let's get back over to the All Hallows Hotline and take another call.
Hey, Lucy, it's Dusty, and I just wanted to say hi, and I also wanted to say that I really appreciate you giving Marissa a shout out. I've been following her for a few years on Instagram, and she's great. I love her makeup. And if just take a look, if people just take a look at her page, like during Halloween, she does during the month of October, she does like a 31 days look, and it's kind of amazing. So I just wanted to say that first, and then I have a little story for you that I remembered that kind of makes me chuckle because kids are funny. So my story, my sister is 4 years older than me. And when she was, I think she was a freshman in high school. So she was like 14. And so that would have made me 10 at the time. And I think we were kind of at the age in our really small town that my mom, she either didn't walk with us or she just stayed in the car and kind of like walked behind us while we were trick-or-treating. But like, I remember my sister didn't want to go that year. So she stayed at my grandma's house and passed out candy, you know, which was like mighty big of her because she was 14 and, you know, I know how some people can be when they're teenagers. anyway, so I remember coming back, walking back up the road, and to my grandma's house, and we heard my sister scream, so my brother and I, like, just bolted and ran to my grandma's house, and it was probably, like, 10 o'clock at night. But we see two figures, like, run off, and my sister was, like, screaming, but then she's laughing, and we were like, what is going on? Like, are you okay? And, like, my grandma came out of the house, and my sister was just rolling, and you know, like, little kids are confused, the kids that are coming up for candy and stuff, because she's, like, sitting on the porch. So she finally gets herself together, and she wouldn't tell us who it was, although later she told me, but two of the high school boys that were a little bit older than her were wearing masks, long coats, and then they had their socks and shoes on, and they were going around, and they were flashing certain people, which would have meant that they were flashing, like, the other high school kids that were out, you know, handing out candy. But they were wearing underpants. So luckily it wasn't like she saw all the goods or anything like that. But I mean, she laughs about that to this day. And like, we know who it is. And if like, and just knowing those two boys, like it just made sense. But then now that as an adult, I'm like, I'm kind of horrified, you know, I'm like, oh wait, that's not okay behavior. I didn't know if anyone else had any kind of, like, you know, funny experiences like that or even horrific experiences like that with, like, flashers or streakers. I don't know that we had any streakers, but we certainly had flashers, you know, funny. I guess they were – I don't know how you can't even normalize flashing. It's really inappropriate, but high school kids are kind of jerks, I think, sometimes. So, anyway, it was funny in the moment. It was funny when you're a child. So I hope everyone's having a great time with the podcast. I know that my son and I are. We think it's really great. He loves it. He actually asks, even if he's listened to an episode, he's like, can we listen to another episode? It's so cute. So thank you so much again for the podcast, and stay spooky. Bye.
Oh, my goodness. Dusty, this is a rated X Always Halloween episode. Just playing, but what a wild Halloween experience. I have never had the misfortune of being flashed on Halloween. However, how do we feel about mooning? To me, flashing denotes the front being exposed, while mooning is specifically just the bottom. And I I would love to hear what others think about this. I don't find a bottom offensive. I don't want to see a front when I'm not prepared for it. An unconsensual front is a bummer. If the undies are on, okay, slightly less of a bummer. But a bare bottom, an unexpected bare bottom, maybe in like a window going by in a car, very funny to me. Let's hear what everyone else thinks. Do we think front or back flashing is a Halloween trick or a Halloween treat? Let's keep it classy, keep it friendly, and remember that this is a show that young people listen to. Dusty also mentioned Marissa, incredible makeup artist, and Luceo Lantern. She does such wonderful makeup. If you love seeing not only really great Halloween, but sci-fi and pop culture looks, and she does really great TikTok videos in relation to these looks, check her out on Instagram. It's Grotesque Egomania, and on Twitter, Grotesque Ego. And she called in to tell us about her wonderful, wonderful portmanteau, Adora Horrible. Which I said correct that time. Go me. All right, let's get into our next eek mail. I'm keeping my voice down a register a little lower, and then it doesn't break up as much. What do we think about this? All right, our next eek mail. The subject line is some movies and a question. Ghoulish greetings. I was just hoping to share a few cozy, spooky suggestions for listeners who are not into the horror genre. I love it. This is fantastic. One of my favorite things about this podcast is that we don't consider horror and Halloween synonymous. I myself love horror, but I think they're different things. So I appreciate this delineation by you, writer. Jumping back in. I'd like to recommend Pooh's Huffalump Halloween. It's adorable and free on YouTube. Also free on YouTube is Teeny Tiny and the Witch Woman, which I believe is a variation of the Russian Baba Yaga folktale. I'd also like to recommend The Witches of Eastwick, starring Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer, Cher, and Susan Sarandon. Wow, a trifecta of big personalities. So, have you or the listeners read the 1960s kids books by Ida Delage? Not sure how to say her last name. A few of her works include What Does a Witch Need? And The Farmer and the Witch. I found the books on eBay and became curious for a biography of the author, but all I can find about her on Google are just lists of the books she wrote. She's a mystery. Do you know anything about her? Thanks so much, Sadie. Sadie, what a great little note here. I love this so much. I have only seen The Witches of Eastwick, which is a completely bonkers movie, one of the strangest movies I've ever seen, with a utterly fascinating production design that just gets crazier and crazier. I definitely recommend it for people who haven't seen it before. It's not spooky, but it's odd. It's incredibly bizarre, and it's dark, but funny. Not dark in like a my life is forever changed kind of way. And I wanted to confirm to you that Teeny Tiny and the Witch Woman is based on Baba Yaga. And for people who are not familiar with Baba Yaga, she is a fascinating Slavic folk tale, old wild witch woman, mistress of magic, a mythological creature, also thought of as a forest spirit. But stories about Baba Yaga have been used in children's stories for hundreds of years to impart the wisdom of the delicacy of the natural world and the mystical elements of the spirit world and how they work in harmony with each other. evidently that her legacy is derived from Eastern European cultural groups, and her character differs depending on who is telling it. But the outcome of Baba Yaga's stories usually emphasize a purity of spirit and polite manners. Baba Yaga can also be a source of guidance when approached correctly. When Baba Yaga is approached without good preparation, sincerity, and due respect, she is dangerous. Baba Yaga and I have that in common. When too many questions or the wrong questions are asked, she is also dangerous. I love this woman. Only by maintaining pure heart and faith, proper respect for her as one's elder, and a loving care of her creatures can the encounter be successful. I absolutely adore that. I would love myself to recommend something to everyone out there in Halloween land. A wonderful column that's on Instagram called Ask Baba Yaga. There's also two Ask Baba Yaga books out. And this account and these books are by the absolutely incredible Russian-American poet and author Taisia Kataskia. She writes the most gorgeous advice columns from the perspective of Baba Yaga. And her book, I have her first book, Ask Baba Yaga, Otherworldly Advice for Everyday Troubles. I truly believe that each and one of you lanterns would get an immense amount of pleasure and comfort from this book. Taisia talks about her connection and says, Baba Yaga was a potent presence in the wild, dense Siberian woods where I formed my earliest memories. My family's summer house was right up against a forest roamed by bears and wolves. After days of berry picking and mushroom gathering, my parents told me fairy tales about this ancient trickster witch, sometimes cruel, sometimes generous, always dangerous. In one tale, the young maiden Vasilisa risks her life to seek the guidance from the human-eating Baba. Vasilisa knocks on the door of this strange hut, which stands on chicken legs. Vasilisa is lucky, and instead of cooking her in her cauldron, Baba Yaga presents the brave girl with a human skull. The skull, glowing mysteriously from the inside, serves as a lantern. It saves Vasilisa, illuminating her forest path through the dark night, taking her where she needs to go. When I was all grown up and living far from Baba's woods, I tried to find my way back to such enchanted lands to get to know Baba Yaga better. I asked her questions on paper and wrote down her answers. Baba's spirit ignored my queries, but immediately began investigating my life. She even offered some unsolicited advice. Spooked and thrilled, I communed with Baba Yaga every week for 2 years. Strangers sent questions that agitated and ached my human heart, but found clarity in Baba's supernatural one. I listened to her pronouncements, and I recorded these answers on a typewriter as best I could. Indifferent and immoral, Baba offers no comforting pats on the back, but she can extend, with her gnarled, clawed hand, a glowing skull lantern. If you keep your nerves, that eerie light might just guide you through. Be well and beware. Ah, that is so beautiful to me. I do want to read just a couple of excerpts of Baba Yaga's advice because I am obsessed with the way Taisia writes, and I have just, through her writing and her quote-unquote advice, have fallen in love with Baba Yaga folktales and folklore and have done so much reading on her, and I think she's the most fascinating witch figure that's out there in the world. I would love to hear what fellow lanterns think. And I'm hoping that maybe one of these pieces of advice helps somebody out there in Halloween land. Baba Yaga. I went through an incredibly rough couple of months recently and mostly managed to make it out the other side. But now I feel weirdly incapable of talking about my own life. How do I open up to people again after spending so much time alone in my crisis? What would I even share? It seems like all I have inside these days are things that are too small to be worth saying and things that are much too big to be said. And Baba Yaga says back, After a great famine, what lives inside a house is mice and shadows. And while the house is shut, nothing but scratchings and dooms do walk the dwell. But open the door, and other creatures shall walk in and fill the rooms, and light eclipses the shadows. And truly it is to know that many houses are near empty without famine, so shame you not. Ooh, so beautiful and thoughtful, right? Oh, I just get chills reading it. I love the natural imagery, and I love thinking of our minds and our lives as creaky houses out in the woods filled with wild creatures. Really resonates with me. I'm just going to read you one more. I'm going to read you my favorite one because I think it is one of the most poetic things I've ever heard. And then we will leave Poetry Corner and get back to the Aha's hotline. Okay. Dear Baba Yaga, my mother and I never bonded, as she was depressed at my birth and blamed me for her terrible life. Now, people seem to sense instantly that I am unlovable. Even though I am a nice person and I do no harm, and even I do good works to the best of my ability, no one loves me or even likes me. How can I change this? And Baba Yaga says, your mother's curse is a tunnel under the earth. She crawled through it. You crawl through it now. And who knows how many people before. In truth, it is very old. It runs to the center of the earth. You are of ancient people, an ancient darkness, and it is not of your doing. The dirt of your back and hands is not yours, and it will wash off. Look up and feel with your hands through the soil. Make your own tunnel out of the earth. Above you is light and grass and creeks where you may wash and drink. And in your bravery, you will be seen and loved. And other creatures will know you as one who dug out of the tunnel, and you will be loved. For the tunnel you've eaten will flood with the sun of newness of you, the you in the bright earth. Oh boy, I could barely get through that one. I seriously think this is the most poetic thing ever written. I mean, just lovely. I love it. Check out Ask Baba Yaga, Otherworldly Advice for Everyday Troubles. That was her first book, and she has a new one out that I haven't gotten yet, but I'm really eager to do so. Okay, and the new one is called Ask Baba Yaga, Poetic Remedies for Troubled Times, and that one came out last year. She also has another book called Literary Witches, A Celebration of Magical Women Writers, that I think you all will also simply adore and is perfect for our witch themes that are happening and rumbling underneath the surface right now. They're almost ready. I'm really hoping I can get an episode out next week. Depends how much writing I can finish tomorrow. If not, new episodes are coming out in the next week to 2 weeks about witches. And in the meantime, we'll be celebrating folk horror, which is a big part of witchcraft imagery and history over on the Patreon. All right. Well, thank you for allowing me that little digression to do. I hear so many terrific book recommendations from all of you lanterns, and I really wanted to dig into one of my favorites for you. And to round things out, we have a lovely call from the All Hallows hotline. Let's give it a listen, shall we?
Hi, Luce. It's Marco calling for my new BFF, Jimmy. I would love to be besties. Always looking for more friends in the spooky community. So I will reach out to Luce on the Instagram and leave my contact info so we can connect. What do you say, Luce? Is Halloween matchmaking season one a go? Should we renew for season two? But on a more serious note, thank you so much for the inclusivity, for standing up for what is right, for educating and informing and being PC. I think it's so important in this day and age, even with the Halloween podcast. It makes me love this platform even more. I think you're so rad, so thank you for that. I'm really looking forward to the upcoming chapter on witches. I love all things witches. The history of witches, movies and TV shows, the 90s sitcom Sabrina, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, The Craft, Charmed, Practical Magic, Hocus Pocus. Love those three witches. And The Wizard of Oz. I love them all. Super excited to delve into that. And then lastly, I am so down for this meetup. Let me know when to put it on my calendar. What do you say? Should we all meet at Camp Crystal Lake? Let me know. Anyways, love you all. Hope to call in soon. And I hope you have a great Friday.
Marco, I cannot thank you enough for this pleasurable call. First of all, I need to apologize to you because when Jenny called in a couple of weeks ago to gush about your incredible Texas Wine Country weekend, she called you Marco, you called yourself Marco, and then what did I say? I said, Mario, what's wrong with me? I felt like such a dumb sucker and like just a rude lady. So I'm very sorry. I hope you will forgive me that slight. It was unintentional. I have been putting your Texas getaway weekend, Halloween getaway up on the Instagram. You sent me a lot of beautiful pictures. I've just been teasing them out because I didn't want to just throw them all up in one slide. I wanted to see them across the grid. So listeners who were into that call from last month from Marco, you can see some of his pictures up there at It's Always Halloween podcast on Instagram. I'm so thrilled that you're enjoying the podcast and that it resonates with you and that you enjoy the social messages of it as well. And it's just truly how I feel is the best way forward for our society. I don't want anyone to be oppressed or missing out or feeling bad or feeling left behind. I just want to see a world where we're all thriving and we're all trick-or-treating and we're all putting on our Mighty Morphin Power Rangers costumes and we're all blasting music for each other and we're all each other's hype men and women and non-binary marginalized gender babes and we're all just out there having the best Halloweens of our lives without being held back by bigotry. That's all I want. That's all I'm rooting for. So I'm glad that you are with us in that fight, Marco. And I'm glad you're excited about witches. I loved every single TV show that you brought up. I will say I didn't watch Charmed very much, but I liked the actresses that were on Charmed. I didn't get fully into it. Has anyone rewatched Charmed recently? Would it be fun to get back into? I have to say I'm extremely into The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Although I was quite disappointed in the final episode, I think it had an irresponsible ending. If anyone wants to talk to me about it on email or Insta Messenger, I don't want to. Instant Messenger? Again, what decade is it? This is when you find out that I am time traveling from 2001. Listen, if you want to get at me on AIM, my name there is PunkBunny345. That's what it was in 2001. Very, very punk bunny. Oh my God, why am I revealing all these secrets today? Take the mic away, Pete. And Marco, I'm delighted, beyond delighted, that we will all get to come hang out for a little wine weekend with you. 2021, party at Marco's place. And how cool is it that we have made a friendship connection, an official friendship connection? Marco and Jenny, you guys have come together. Jenny and I went to prom together. What other connections are out there, you guys? Who knows? We have got, you know, over 500 to 600 regular listeners of the show on the off season. So how many of us are bumping up against each other and don't know it? Am I trying to set up a light matchmaking business on the side, a friend matchmaking business? Yes, I am. I want another day job. No, I love seeing people come together. So this warms my heart so much. I did connect Jenny and Marco over Instagram when they both said that they were interested, and I got both of their permissions, and now they are friends and they're chatting on their own. It's lovely. Let me know if you would like to meet somebody. You guys are the best. This was a very fun episode. I feel like I got a little wild and woolly a little bit along the way. You know, it was a couple weeks off. I had a very disciplined week focusing on Christmas. I had a very disciplined week focusing on the horrors of our world. So I had to let it all hang out for Halloween. Let it hang out for Halloween. That's what that's the bumper sticker those flashers probably have on their car. Yuck. Why is she bringing them up again? All right, you guys, before we go today, I want to tell you about one more thing that I think is very cool and very fun. I am doing a halfway to Halloween giveaway because it's April. So we're halfway to Halloween. I know this is just a calendars thing, okay? You and me, we know that it's always Halloween, but the calendar guys are just like obsessed with Halloween being in October. So this is for them, okay? This is just to satisfy the calendar guys. We're halfway to Halloween, and I am gifting some lucky trick-or-treater out there a whole pillowcase filled with spooky delights from my favorite creepy stores in Los Angeles, like Halloween Town and the Mystic Museum. And all you have to do is leave a little friendly review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you've already left a review, you're automatically entered. You're good. The entry deadline is April 25th, and I'll be doing a live drawing on Instagram that following week, which I will also record for that Small Frights episode coming out on the 30th. So no worries if you're not on social media. You will get to hear it as long as you listen to the April 30th Small Frights episode. I'm also going to give out second and third place runner-up packages that are filled with It's Always Halloween merch. And there's only one drawback to the giveaway, which is that it's restricted to the United States. I know. But I looked up shipping, and it's crazy. So I can't afford to do the shipping internationally. And I also, did you guys know there's a bunch of rules out there? There's like laws that govern giveaways, and there's some really confusing laws about how you give things away internationally. It started to freak me out, so I just decided this one can't be international. International babies, I love you, and we'll find something else fun to do that involves you. I'm not trying to ignore you, I promise. So get your reviews in by April 25th. And thanks to everyone who's already written one already. If you did it months ago, back when it was last year even, you are automatically entered. So don't worry about that. In the meantime, hey, share your book reviews. What like witchy poetry have you read lately that made you tear up publicly? Let me know. Do you have any types of local cemetery excursions? Do you have a love connection that you would like me to make? Or do you have a costume success that you'd like to share? Do you want to tell me about who blasted music for you as you strutted down the halls of middle school? Please call into the All Hallows Hotline at 802-532-DEAD. Or write me an email at itsalwayshalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. As I said at the top of the show, if you love It's Always Halloween, please subscribe at patreon.com/itsalwayshalloween or leave us a one-time donation in the tip jar. Both are linked in the show notes along with our Redbubble store and our Instagram. All the hot links are in the show notes. This episode of It's Always Halloween was written and performed by me, Luce Tomlin-Brenner, with help from our incredible Luceo Lanterns, Alex, Sam, Dusty, Sadie, and Marco. And I feel like a little bit of help from Jenny back there, inspiring many people. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, all of you, for contributing. The editing, theme music, and sound design is by the incredible Pete Burns. Thanks, Pete. Couldn't do it without you. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at LTB Comedy, and you can follow Pete at Mittenberries. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of It's Always Halloween, and please come back next time, unless you're too busy sacrificing old costumes to the Halloween Lord.